Hello and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Thanks for joining us on the journey. This past Friday, we reflected on the fact that the best is yet to come. But we realize that if you are listening to this and this world still stands, the best is not here yet. In the present, it may be that you're going through a tough time. And so, Roger, we've got 5 Fridays in the month of October, and we want to look at some life lessons from the Old Testament book of Job.
The book of Job, what a great and powerful book that is. It starts off the section of our Bible we call the wisdom literature. We want to talk a little bit about the background of the book to begin with, but then for the next 5 weeks, we want to just spin off some lessons from the book of Job. Obviously, when we think of the name Job, we hear the name Job, the first and immediate thing comes to our mind is suffering. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And particularly, why does God allow the innocent to suffer? That is a stumbling block for a lot of people. And we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But we also want, in this series, we want to talk about how to help those who are hurting. I think God calls upon us to be his disciples, to be his hands and feet, and to help others who hurt. We also want to talk about the idea of worship, how to worship God when I just don't feel like it. And that's something a lot of us go through. And how to make a marriage that weathers the storms, and to see that. Now, all these lessons are going to be pulled from this book of Job as we think about that. The book begins in chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. That's how he's introduced to us. Job is referred to in the book of Ezekiel. He's also referred to in the book of James. It is a very, very old book. It likely parallels about the time of Genesis. And the reason why we say this is we find God talking directly to Job. There's no reference to the law of Moses, no reference to the tabernacle, the temple, those things that came along with Israel afterwards. So it's likely that this was written during the patriarchal time, one of the very first books of the Bible. And it is a very long book. It's one of the longest books in the Old Testament. And it's one of the longest sections that has conversation between men and not God. There's not a lot of things that God says until the very, very end of this book. Most of it, as you're familiar with, is a conversation between Job and his friends. And they go back and forth, a lot of debating, a lot of dialogue, lots of little lessons in that. But the overall picture, and I think the theme of the book, is found in verse 9 of chapter 1, when the devil says to God, Does Job fear God for nothing? Actually, the book is not about suffering. It's about why we serve God. If all the good things in our life was taken away from us, would we still serve God? What if you had no health? What if you had no family? What if you had no job? What if you were just sitting on the city dump with a piece of broken pottery, scraping the sores on your arms and legs? That's where we find Job at the end of chapter 1 and 2. And the question is God worthy to be served because he's God? Or does he buy our allegiance? Does he buy our faithfulness by all the goodies? Or as Satan says, you put a hedge around him. So that's kind of the backdrop. And that gets us kind of kick-started into this. And so, as you know, in chapter 1, there is a series of bad news. From verse 13 on down to verse 19, just a series of one after another disasters that take place. In verse 15, it says that the foreigners came and attacked Job's servants. They took and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and they took the donkeys and the oxen. While he was still speaking, verse 16 says, this one's not even done with bad news. Here comes more bad news. Another came and says, the fire of God fell from heaven, burned up the sheep, and the servants consumed them. I alone have escaped to tell you. Verse 17 begins, while he's still speaking. Now we got two bad stories. Here comes number three. He says the Chaldeans came in three bands and made a raid and took all the camels, slew the servants. He alone escaped. Then came another one, verse 18. While he was still speaking, he says, another came and says, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in your oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. It fell and on the young people and they died. And there's going to be 10 fresh graves in the hillside there.
Now, Roger, as you read that, you've given us just a sweeping introduction, and I'm struck where so many people are struck. This is introduced in verse 1. This man was blameless, upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. It would be one thing to read about all of the terrible, I mean, just the stuff of nightmares that happens to this man if chapter 1, verse 1 said, this man was wicked and crooked, someone who hated God and reveled in evil and hurt everybody around him. And we would almost anticipate, okay, here's a bad guy. Look at all of the bad things that happened. This is like, you know, one of Aesop's fables. If you're a bad guy, bad things are going to happen to you. But it's almost like we get whiplash because he is an exemplary man. Horrible things happen to him. And at the forefront of a lot of people's minds is, well, why? Why would God allow this to happen to such a good man?
And when we are standing in Job's shoes, the first thing we naturally think is, I'm being punished. I mean, I'm being punished hard. I'm being smacked hard. And that's going to be the response Job's friends take. No one gets to go through like you did unless they're ever being punished by God. But the text tells us over and over again that Job was blameless. And so that takes us into this big subject of suffering. Why do we suffer? And there's not one quick, easy answer for that. But let's just run through a list of some things that we know the Bible teaches. One of the things we do know is because of bad choices. You put your hand on the hot stove, it's going to hurt, it's going to burn. Why did that happen? Because you put your hand on the hot stove. I mean, that's foolish and bad choices will do that. I'm amazed at some of these YouTube videos of people doing just the most bizarre things. And I watch them, it's kind of funny, but it always ends as soon as they fall. I mean, you don't see the ambulance coming and the mourner or the mortuary coming because it looks like some of these people got killed. It's just these ugly things that they do. That's why sometimes we suffer. Why do we suffer? Because I did something I shouldn't have done. Now, that's not Job's case here. We don't see anything like that. We also see that the Bible teaches in Hebrews 9 is appointed man wants to die, and after this comes a judgment. Death comes in many fashions. It doesn't mean we live to be 95 and go to sleep and then we wake up on the other side. Death comes by car accidents. Death comes as it does in Job chapter 1 here by storms killing children. Death comes by disease. There's a lot of causes of that. And again, doesn't seem right, but that's part of what God says. God never promises his people, follow Jesus and you'll live a long, long, profitable life. He doesn't say that. The best life is the life to come on the other side. Ecclesiastes tells us time and chance happens to everyone. Accidents happen. Sometimes we are the victim of other people's sins. Sometimes things happen and it falls upon us and we see that. Book of James talks about the trials of faith, and sometimes those trials, as Peter calls them, are fiery trials. Persecution was that way, and so those are forms of suffering. Discipline from God, as Hebrews 12 talks about, can be a form of suffering. So there's, you know, when we look at that subject, why does God cause the innocent to suffer? We want a nice, clean, simple answer. And there's not that one there.
And we're not the first ones to look for that nice, clean, simple answer, right? We know that Job's friends are struggling with that in the early chapters of that big Old Testament book. We know that this was a question on the minds of people in the New Testament. We hear Jesus' disciples in John chapter 9 as Jesus and they pass by a man who was known to have been blind from birth. And the disciples just ask a very straightforward question in John 9, verse 2. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? I mean, most of us cannot imagine never having been able to see with our physical eyes. And so when we do behold someone who has had that affliction as long as they've been alive, we want to know why. We want to know there must be a reason. And in the minds of these people, it's sin. The only explanation for this man's blindness is sin. Either somehow he sinned in the womb or his parents. And Jesus, how thankful we ought to be that John recorded for us Jesus' answer in John 9, verse 3. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. What a powerful statement from the Son of God himself.
I think when we are looking for the cause of suffering, you know, we're backward looking. We're looking to what caused this. And I think we do that sometimes because we want someone to blame. You know, who am I going to blame? Because this just doesn't happen. So I got to blame something. And then secondly, we've got to make sure it doesn't happen to us. So whatever happened to you, I want to know why so it won't happen to me. But what's interesting is the thrust of the New Testament isn't looking backward, finding the cause. It's more looking at what are you going to do with suffering and what's suffering going to do to you. And it's more forward looking. And in spite of your pain, will you trust God? With all these things that's not going right, will you still follow God? And that's kind of the direction that I think sometimes we forget about.
Yeah. I like how you framed that. What is suffering going to do to me? What am I going to do in the midst of suffering? And maybe above all of that, what can God do through this? I mean, that is such a powerful anchor point for us, even thousands of years after Job. There are going to be things about the past that we don't understand. There are going to be things about the future that are uncertain. But here in Job, here in John chapter 9, really throughout the Old and the New Testaments, it's there is a God who is able even to use the suffering of righteous people for good in the world, to accomplish his purposes that are bigger than any one of us as individuals.
And the first chapter of Job ends after all that series of bad news. While he was still speaking, came more bad news, 16, 17, 18, and that continues on. Then verse 20, then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground, and worshiped. He did not curse God. He did not abandon God. He did not say, I don't think there is a God. He worshiped. And so here I think what's being displayed is really one of the questions and the answer to the question that Satan had in verse 9. Does Job fear God for nothing? Let's take away all the good blessings in his life. Let's just shut him down. Turn them all off. Let's ruin all the blessings. Now he's going to curse you. And Job didn't do that. Job worshiped God. And so in the midst of suffering, we see the value of still clinging to our God. Our God's the one who can help us. Our God's the one who can make a difference. And so when we think about this first lesson, you know, we all want the answer. just why? Why does this child have cancer? Why did this young person die in a car accident? Why did this person live to be 90 years old and this other person only lived to be 15? Why did this? Why did that? And I believe there's going to be a lot of times that we just don't know. We just don't know. But what God expects of us is to continue to walk with him and trust him and follow him.
Roger, I hear you saying, and I completely agree. I think it's one of the great lessons of the book of Job. We need to be very careful connecting dots that God has not connected for us. Saying why when really we are only guessing and working with our own limited understanding and perspective. But I do think before this episode wraps, it's important for us to acknowledge from Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2, Satan is real. Only know of him what God has preserved in his word, but very straightforwardly, in Job 1 and verse 6, we're told, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan," in the language that this was written in, that description literally means the adversary or the accuser, came in among the sons of God. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" And his answer is, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it." We know that that is a thread picked up thousands of years later, presumably by the Apostle Peter, when he describes this same adversary as a roaring lion roaming the earth, seeking someone to devour. We need to be very careful that when we speak of Satan, we do not speak of him as if he is God. He is not presented in Scripture as all-powerful, all-knowing, able to be everywhere in the sense that that divinity is. We need to be very careful saying, well, this person was in a car accident and either he sinned or Satan is the one who caused it. Roger, I appreciated the reminder from Ecclesiastes. Time and chance happens to us all. But woven in the middle of all that God has revealed for us is we have an adversary who hates God, who hell has been prepared for him and his angels, and he is absolutely intent on taking as many image bearers of God with him as absolutely possible.
Let me throw four things we learn about Satan right here in the first part of the book of Job. And again, so often when calamity happens, tragedy strikes, we point the finger at the God. God allowed these things, but it was Satan who caused it. First thing we learn about Satan right here is he's evil in what he does. He sent raiding armies. He sends disease. He killed Job's children. He is wicked, wicked to the... There's not one good thing the devil does in the Bible. There's not one good compliment you can say, well, at least he did this. Everything he does is wrong. Jesus said he was a liar from the beginning. The second thing we see here is he has the power to hurt, and he hurt Job. He hurt Job bad. Thirdly, he's limited by God, and he cannot operate without God's permission. He had to get permission by God to do these things. He does not act independently. He cannot just fly and do whatever he wants. He's not equal to God. God has all authority, even over Satan. And then his tax has a lasting impact upon us. The children of Job, as the book ends, he'll have more children, but these children are gone, and they're gone for good. And so we think about the lasting impact it can be upon us. It can scar us, it can cripple us, it can ruin us, or it can draw us closer to God. And so these are thoughts. So, I mean, we live in a broken world. How often on the news do we hear about shootings? How often do we read about pandemics? How often do we hear about tragedy and there's hurricanes and storms and so many people get caught up and get wounded and hurt and even killed by those things? And sometimes people just scratch their head and say, where's God in all of this? He's at the same place he was when Jesus went to the cross. When his own son suffered, he was upon the cross. God was in heaven seeing those things. And so those are reminders to us. We so often want this to be heaven. We have so many pills that take away every pain, every sorrow we have, but this will never be heaven. This world is broken, it's full of sorrow, and it has Satan roaming around in it. And those are some things that ought to help us as we think about the beginning of this series.
Yeah, you referenced, Roger, earlier that Job is mentioned in James 5, and perhaps this would be a good way of capping this first episode off. We know Satan is real. We know that God is sovereign over all, and that even with Satan's worst attacks, God is able to make good things happen. When it appears as if Satan has won his greatest victory in the killing of Jesus, God is laying the seeds for our salvation. And so in James chapter 5, verse 7, for instance, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Verse 11, behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Roger and I will be the first to tell you there are things that happen on this earth that we just don't have an explanation for. But we do believe with all of our hearts, and we want you to believe, maybe this series will help, that everything we need to know about the purpose of the Lord in our salvation is being made available. Even in heartbreaking books like Job, we can see that the Lord is compassionate and merciful. It's a big book. Hey, Roger, you mentioned that earlier. There's a lot of lessons to learn here, and we're just scratching the surface, but we hope that this series will be encouraging to all.
Let me end with a little poem I found years ago and I really like. It says, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the better for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she, but oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. Truths and all those things there.
No doubt. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. If this little Life Lessons from Job series has you intrigued and it's been encouraging to you, we would love it if you would share it. Share it in your social media circles. We're going to talk about some questions that many, many have on their minds, and we would love it if you would spend Fridays in October with us. We hope that this episode has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you are walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.